The toy bar is open! Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your hosts and toy barflies, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper, discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by Shellhead Comics and More. This is Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new episode of Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles, brought to you by ShellheadComics.com, ShellheadComics.com, the Shellhead Comics blog, and more right here on ToyWorldOrder.com. Welcome, my co-host, Dave Draper.
Yay!
Good old Duvall and Dave Draper back again for another week of toy and or pop culture talk, depending on how much toy news there is.
I almost posted a thing in the fan group, hey, the questions thread is here. I almost said, please, God, help us. It's a slow toy week.
Yes, it's slow.
Give us questions.
Well, the good thing is as you guys are listening to this, it is technically 24 hours, or depending on when you listen to it, it is
the day that, yeah.
It's a big week for Star Wars fans.
I mean, we had fun with that. Because we thought...
Yeah.
Okay, here's the thing. I do understand how time works.
Yeah, so
time
do
does
I.
work.
So do I.
And so I knew that 12:01 was technically the next day.
Yeah.
But usually people kind of fudge, especially 12:01. They usually fudge that a little. So I figured it was technically Saturday, but you'd be there Friday.
Yeah.
No, apparently it's you'd be there Thursday.
Thursday into Friday morning. Yeah.
Which is dumb.
Which I was excited because I actually have the weekend off this week.
I know.
We were going to hang out Friday night and go do Star Wars toys and come back and film and do a bunch of cool stuff.
Slumber party, watch Daredevil,
talk about toys. If we're going to do our hair, there's not a lot there for both of us to do.
Well, you know.
We're both thin and pretty bad.
I figured Star Wars would take up a lot of time. But
that's true. This is very true. But yeah, it is Force Friday week. Yay for Star Wars fans, especially my buddy Dave.
Yay! Well, we'll see.
Well, Dave spent the weekend making room for Star Wars stuff, which did not work out.
I spent the last 2 days.
Which did not work out well in his favor.
It's going badly.
It's not going well, people.
It's going very badly.
Did you put it to me? You thought you were making space, and then you keep running out of space?
I've made it worse. Yeah. I made the situation was apparently very well, very eloquently done originally, and I've made the situation worse.
Yes.
So I have less space somehow, which I won't say always happens. Sometimes it happens, but usually there's that moment where you're like, "Oh no, I made space after all." That's not happening. That's
no.
Not only is that not happening, but because of the shelf that I picked, stuff is, you know, every now and then stuff will fall onto the shelf below.
Right.
So now I gotta get that fixed.
Right.
There are a couple of things on card that I kind of wanted to like scooch up in the back.
Yeah.
So I had to pull stuff on the row above forward so the thing could pop up. So now all that stuff is pulled off, and that stuff is out of place. All the Battlestar Galactica figures are
moved.
It's just like, it just keeps getting worse. I do have a place. I have a place designated.
Right.
Let's put it that way. And it's partially cleared off at this point.
Partially cleared off.
Partially cleared off. And then I was like, at one point I'm like, oh wait, this is gonna work. I'm gonna pull. Oh yeah, I've got that huge droid starfighter that I put somewhere and forgot to put back. It's kind of the opposite of when I was doing that a couple weeks ago with the Marvel stuff and Fin Fang Foom, and it was like, yeah, I got to plug that back in somewhere, and it worked.
Oh yeah, yeah. Didn't work this time.
No, this time it was like, oh yeah, all that space you have,
it
is gone.
I was doing that with mass stuff today after stuff we filmed for Collection Expansion. Was taking pictures and was trying to put the mass stuff away, and I had set the Silver Bolt, I think it's called, or on the shelf of the Visionaries, and I had the video camera plugged in because, surprise, surprise, the video camera's not charging the batteries again.
Hooray.
Which means the cord's gone bad again on it already. But I set that up.
Is that
up.
A new cord?
Yeah, it was the cord I just bought a couple months ago, and now it's
bad. Are you sure it's the cord?
If it's not the cord, it's the camera, and we can't afford a new camera, so I'll just keep buying new cords until that doesn't work anymore. But I had the camera plugged in, and I had set it on that same shelf. And when I set it there, the window was open on the camera, and it pushed that jet and knocked all my Visionaries down. I was like,
oh no.
I just looked at him and went, I don't care. I'll just get you back. Like, I got to move this mass stuff anyway, so I'll come back down here and deal with it later. Oh, my gosh. Before we get into some other stuff I want to talk about.
Oh, yeah, there's one thing I want to quickly give a quick shout-out to my friend Tom Hickerson.
Okay.
He's a buddy of mine from college, and he just had his birthday.
Yay!
And I said, happy birthday, and on Facebook, and he said, yeah, I love your show.
Yay!
So that was kind of It's kind of cool to have
Happy birthday, Tom!
To have someone, you know, that I knew from before this whole shenanigans. He's not really a toy guy.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. I am.
Okay.
I'm done. Sorry, Tom. That's all
he didn't even do that for Gaul.
So. Yeah, that's true. Some toy news. Previous exclusive mug from Surreal Entertainment. I know we don't talk about mugs very often, but this one tickled my fancy because it's right up Dave's alley. But the fact that the previews is releasing through Surreal Entertainment an exclusive Cthulhu mug.
You know, I feel about Cthulhu the same way I feel about Bossk, and that I really feel
just
about...
Just getting out of hand.
Really feel about zombies, which is like, I loved all this stuff, but man, it's just... They're starting to get a little mainstream and a little too much of it, you know?
Yeah. Dread Cthulhu, a.k.a. the Elder God from Stories. Think about it, you could drink out of the head of Dread Cthulhu.
Me.
But that looks like it's going to be... it's $16.99.
Oh,
it's gonna be in the September issue, so that means it'll be out December or January, I think. Yeah.
The one I wish I'd gotten is they had one that was like a D20 mug, and that looked cool.
Yeah. I remember that one. Our buddies over at NECA are finally getting ready to release the deluxe Bat Gremlin.
Yeah.
So from NECA's latest deluxe action figure from Gremlins 2. The new batch, which is the companion piece to their Spider Gremlin.
Yep.
And Bat Gremlin has a massive wingspan of almost 18 inches.
My excitement level just went from like 10 to about 2.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's going to be huge.
He's 6 inches tall, and he comes with a flight display stand. He's in scale with the other Gremlins, but it's just that wingspan is so big.
Where that's gonna go.
It's fully articulated, including hinged ears, hinged jaw, jointed arms that allow the wings to spread open and fold closed. So you can display him closed. But who wants to display the Bat Gremlin with closed wings? Unless you can Unless you can create that scene in the film where he's got them wrapped around himself.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure they've designed him so that you can at least try to approximate that.
Yeah. Our good friends over at NECA, though, doing some cool stuff. Something else NECA's doing is they finally showed off, you know, in the past they did an Ultimate Freddy Krueger, which, by the way, Wes Craven passed away this week.
Yes, very sad.
From brain cancer. Lost his battle to brain cancer.
Wow.
I believe he was 73 or 75. I think it was 73.
75, I think.
That was super sad, though. And I saw somebody had posted a little, like, news, you know, editorial picture of Freddy Krueger sitting on a bench with his head hung, like, kind of crying, and Jason Voorhees has got his arm around him. And I was like,
I saw something like that.
Yeah.
The ACBA guys
did something.
Yeah. One of those guys did something like that.
This was actually, you know, a drawing. But
yeah,
was,
I gotcha.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I was like, oh, that's actually kind of sweet. But NECA, following in the veins of their deluxe Freddy Krueger, which they released like a year ago, maybe? They are finally releasing a Friday the 13th Part 6 Ultimate Jason Voorhees action figure.
Okay.
And,
I don't remember which one that was.
First shown at San Diego Comic Con just this past July as an unpainted prototype. But
That was one of the good ones. Okay.
Yeah. The deluxe 7-inch scale figure features 25 points of articulation, loaded with accessories including removable mask, machete, and knife that both fit into the sheaths on his belt. The fence post that reanimated him and his tombstone. So he comes with quite a bit of stuff, including you know, like the unmaskable, you know.
Yeah.
It's a nice sculpt. NECA knocked it out of the park again with
Part
6, which when he was, I think, at his most deteriorated.
Well, he was resurrected from the dead.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe that's the conclusion to the Tommy Jarvis trilogy.
I believe it is. With the who was playing Tommy Jarvis? Corey Feldman.
No, right? No, he played the original Tommy Jarvis.
Oh, he played the original. You were talking about the old Tommy.
The Tommy showed up in 4, and then he was in 5. No, he was in 5.
He was in 5.
Because he was in the insane asylum. 5 is the one that didn't have a real Jason.
Mm.
It had one of the orderlies, spoiler alert.
That's right.
At the insane asylum was pretending to be Jason.
That's right.
And then 6 is he wants to finish Jason off once and for all and ends up accidentally reanimating him.
Yes.
He
also comes with the chains you can wrap around his head and I guess a display base so it looks like he's floating in the water.
That's from the end, yeah.
Yeah. So, pretty cool though. That's a great figure for horror fans and Jason Voorhees fans, so. some cool stuff from. Yeah, I need to go back and watch all the Friday the 13th. It's been a while since I've seen all of them.
Eh.
Not all of them are good, but they're all fun.
No.
They're all fun. Pop Culture Shock has been doing a number of Masters Universe statues based on the Filmation animation of the characters, and their next in line is the Evil Sorceress. And they're actually doing two versions of the Sorceress. One, the standard release, is $340. It's limited to 500 pieces.
So, wait, okay, is it the Sorceress?
Oh, no, I'm sorry, Evil-Lyn.
Because you keep saying Evil Sorceress.
I meant Evil-Lyn, I'm sorry.
And I'm like, I thought you meant Evil-Lyn, and then you kept, but then you said Sorceress, and I'm like,
well you know why?
Because that is a character.
Because, well, but she is technically the Evil Sorceress.
I get that.
Yeah, that's,
I'm just
that's,
saying.
Yeah. Evil-Lyn, the normal edition, and then the exclusive is $345, which not much more expensive than the regular one, but limited to 200 pieces. And she actually has an unhelmeted, an alternate head where her helmet's off to show her white hair, and a broken staff.
Huh. So, but this is the Filmation one?
Yeah.
I didn't know she had white hair in Filmation.
I think she was unmasked once.
Okay. I knew that the 2000X one had white hair.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then last but not least, which is going to lead us into some of our conversation this week, Mondo revealed the pricing on their 1/6 scale TMNT figures.
Okay.
And they were...
I bet they're really cheap.
The Mondo exclusive was limited to 500 pieces and was retailing for $159.99.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was
not bad.
They offered
Hot Toys are like $200-$300.
They offered a subscription that would cost that would be four payments of $149.99. So the regular figures were $150, and they look good. Mondo's figures look great.
Yeah, they do.
Here's the problem.
Okay,
these went on sale last week, the 27th.
Okay,
they went on sale.
That is a problem.
Well. Mondo is running their toy division much like they run their poster division, where...
You mean their highly successful poster division.
Exactly. But the problem is that while a lot of those poster guys will put up with that nonsense, I don't think toy people are going to... Like, you have to follow their Twitter and all that.
This is a podcast, so let me just say for the audience, I'm giving Jason somewhat confused, what are you talking
Mondo,
about, Willis?
Mondo look? Will give you a date. The stuff's going to go on sale. They don't give you a time.
Yeah.
So you have to follow their Twitter to find out what time. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Toy people aren't going to put up with that crap very long.
Because you think?
Well, because the exclusives sold out in like 10 minutes. The subscription sold out quicker than that. Sold out in like 2 minutes.
What part of the early days of Masters Classics gives you the idea that fans aren't going to like flood this thing and buy it up as soon as they can
exactly
get it. No, but I'm saying you're wrong that fans will put up with this.
If
the product's good.
The problem is a lot of them now can't get the product because Leo's it's
yeah, great.
And they're following much like their posters where they're limiting it to so many pieces.
Yeah,
and you know,
so they sold out of their stuff. Wow, that's my definition of a failure right there.
Well, it's a success, but the problem is like they've sold enough subscriptions to sell out whatever allotment they had for subscriptions.
Okay.
They sold out the exclusive, which was limited to 500 pieces. I don't know if the regular edition... it might still...
Oh, there's a regular edition?
There is a regular edition. It might still be up for sale. I haven't looked lately.
Gee, that's cool. I don't get what your beef is or why you think this isn't going to work.
The regular figure is still available. Well, the problem is a lot of people were upset because they wanted all four, but they didn't want to have to go online and try to get one every month. They just wanted to sign up for the subscription.
Boo-hoo.
Just wanted to sign up for the subscription. And a lot of people are pissed because they wanted the subscription, they couldn't get the subscription. So then they wanted to get the exclusive figure because exclusive figures come with more stuff.
Yeah.
Like Shredder's Gauntlet, some more hands,
stuff like that. Yeah,
and then that was gone, and they couldn't get that, and they were like, well, I don't want the regular one. I wanted these versions.
So this is what I was seeing. I think I see where you're going. But I'll let you try to get there.
This is what I was seeing outside. It's like, as people like Pixel Dan couldn't get what, you know, got the exclusive but couldn't get the subscription. And other people were trying to do the same thing. And stuff was selling out so quick because either one scalpers were just rocking out Mondo.
I'm sure.
I've never been a fan of Mondo personally.
You know, posters are a thing that I'm not... I like them, but I'm not super passionate about them.
Right.
So I like their model's kind of been like a little off-putting for me, but it's been successful for them.
It's been successful for them, yeah. Now, I'm not taking that away from them.
Because, I mean, there's a couple that I would have loved to have had, but there was no
Same
chance
here.
In hell that I'd get
I
them.
Wanted the Little Mermaid one, and there was no chance in hell.
I really wanted the Jurassic Park one.
Yeah, not happening.
Yeah.
Not when their posters sell out in minutes.
Yeah.
You know, just boom, like that, they're gone.
But, I mean, like, if that works for them, why would you change that?
Well, the problem is that I wouldn't when it comes to posters because it's still successful. But when it comes to toys, it's a different...
Well,
especially
we'll
with a popular brand like Ninja Turtles, you know, where they're doing these 1/6 scale posable comic book versions of these characters. And Ninja Turtle fans are supposed to, of course, you know, and 1/6 scale collectors are like, oh my God, I want those.
Yeah, they're very cool.
And Mondo just, you know, much like their posters... makes it difficult for people who are trying to get the stuff get it at times.
So you're saying that will hurt the regular edition. Is that where you were going?
I think the sales of the regular edition, which they're still available, the regular ones are, I think it hurt those sales.
Well.
Like, they sold the subscriptions, they sold the exclusives, and then a lot of people were just pissed because they were like, I don't want that. I wanted the subscription. You didn't have enough subscriptions. Why weren't there more subscriptions open? Then, you know, if you've got this many of the basic, then why don't you just, you know, why don't you just sell it as a subscription base and not sell the individual pieces?
Well, not everybody likes subscriptions. I mean, God only knows all the,
True.
The whining. Again, I go back to Masters Classics. I mean, you know, ironically, that was a thing everyone was like, no, no, we want a subscription, we want a subscription. And then, like, 2 years later, we're tired of everything having to be about the subscription. we want to be able to pick and choose.
Yeah. We want to choose this.
I don't know.
Choose that.
We'll see how it goes. It sounds like the initial offering has been really, really successful for them.
Yeah, I mean,
why would you change your? I don't know.
I just as an outsider looking in, it kind of made me go, eh. It's kind of bogus, but again, it's like, eh. I get what they're doing. I get why they're doing it because, again, like you said, it's successful, and it works for them. But it's just. It's kind of sad to know that, you know, they're really nice figures. I don't know if they're $150 figures, honestly, because...
Man, for the 12-inch scale, that's pretty reasonable.
Pretty affordable. But then again, you look at the 3-0 movie turtles, and they're just a little bit more expensive, but they're more detailed, more...
Some of that's the source material.
I agree.
You know, and I don't know. I mean... Also, I think the movie turtles aren't as popular as the comic turtles.
True.
Substantially less popular than the comic turtles, frankly.
It was just interesting to see, like, happen as, you know, as it was going on throughout the week. You know, Mondo, they were very proud of this video they made, and they posted on Facebook, and all the comments were people bitching at Mondo, like, we couldn't, way to screw up, Mondo, we can't even get your stuff, now you're not getting our money. It's like, okie dokie. Hot Toys showed off, well, it didn't show up, but opened up orders, pre-orders for their Avengers Age of, actually Captain America the Winter Soldier, I'm sorry, Nick Fury.
Oh, yeah.
So, Nick Fury with, he comes with, like, his little broken arm and...
The eye.
Yep, the eye. And a number of other items here, including, detailed accessories include, six pieces of interchangeable gloved palms. Yeah, I know. Let's see.
I mean, it's cool to have, but
pistol,
it gets goofy.
One mobile phone, one portable data storage device, and his stand with the name on it. But a lot of people were really excited about that figure. It looks good. I mean, it's a good sculpt.
Yeah.
And again, it's very hard to not nail Samuel L. Jackson down because he's very distinct.
Yeah, well... That can work against you. I've heard Harrison Ford and...
Harrison Ford's really hard to
William
do.
William Shatner are both really hard
Shatner's
to do.
Shatner's really hard to do, yeah. Yeah, those are the two that... I don't remember who... It was Madame Tussauds or what, but somebody did a Harrison Ford, and people were like, that's not Harrison Ford.
No. I think it was Tussauds.
That's because Ford's hard to do.
Ford is.
I like how in the background of some of the pictures for Nick Fury, there's a blurry version of Marie Hill. Hanging out there, I'm like, oh, I kind of want Marie Hill. She's kind of cool. Surprised you
I
would
think
jump.
They did her?
Have they already done her?
I think they did her.
That's the problem is I don't follow the Hot Toys stuff anymore that much unless we, you know, I see something pop up for new stuff and I didn't know if they did her or they were going to do her or she's coming
out. I think they've announced her at least. Mm.
Good old Colby Smulders.
Yeah.
Mm. She makes a good Maria Hill.
Yeah, well, she makes an interesting Maria Hill. Like, right. Because my introduction to Maria Hill, ironically, was with Civil War. Mm. Where I think it can be fairly argued she was a bad guy. So.
Yeah, yeah.
So this Maria Hill is much nicer and friendlier than the one yes. that I'm used to.
Yes, she's much nicer. Speaking of Age of Ultron,
thought you were going to say Civil War. No. Wow, way to fumble the segue.
Well, it was Civil War too, but I was just thinking it just stumbled in my head that thought it was interesting that when does Avengers Age of Ultron come out?
I have no idea.
Let's see the release date on that. Is let's see, when is the release date?
I don't know.
I'm looking it up. I'm just mumbling here now. BestBuy.com, why don't you just give me a date?
Our very special co-host just have quite the epic burp.
Oh, so it comes out on Blu-ray and DVD Friday, October 2nd, okay?
Okay.
On September 8th, you can stream it on Netflix.
Okay.
Which is kind of a big deal.
Well, not everybody's in... They've done movies, like, in the theaters where you can stream it on...
Well...
Home platform.
Yeah, but nothing this popular.
Fair enough.
Like, this is kind of a big deal for Netflix to stream this before the DVD and Blu-ray even comes out, like, well, a month in advance.
You were saying that Simpsons isn't even releasing seasons on...
Right, Simpsons, they're stopping physical media releases now, yeah. But I just thought that was interesting. I'd seen that, and I was like, is that right? And then I looked again, and I was like, oh, nope, it's right. They're going to stream it on Netflix starting September 8th,
well,
so...
It's not for everybody. I've had one or two issues with my crummy dying...
With your modem?
Modem.
Yeah, you have.
And I like having the physical media. I generally prefer it.
Yeah.
Plus, does it have all the... Is it the DVD? I mean, does it have all the extras and crap?
No, it's just the movie. They're just streaming the film.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that the Blu-ray will have stuff.
Oh, yeah, the Blu-ray will have extra stuff on it.
It always has extra stuff.
I just thought that was interesting, but they also showed some... new posters for Captain America Civil War.
Ooh.
Showing off the teams, basically.
Neat.
Minus Spider-Man, of course.
Minus Spider-Man.
But, the teams
and
that...
Aunt May.
Yeah, and Aunt May. Yes, and Aunt May. The teams that they...
Hey, we don't know. She could be the Golden Glider.
That's true.
The Golden Oldie.
The Golden Oldie. The teams that had kind of been leaked to
people
were saying...
Someone's going, the Galactus is still owned by Fox. Why don't you understand anything, you dorks?
The teams are correct in the way that they've been leaked, and whereas
so Black Widow, so I'm clear, is on Stark's team.
Yes,
right? I've heard
yes.
multiple things.
Yes,
I know there's that thing where they're fighting each other, where she's fighting Hawkeye. So that kind of confused me.
Yeah,
okay,
she is on Iron Man's team, which is. So I'm just curious to see how all this comes about, because of course at the end of Age of Ultron. You had Cap and Black Widow.
And it seemed like they were co-founders of
Avengers
2.0. Because
Stark was gone. Stark left.
Well, yeah.
Stark was like, I'm out. Peace.
Yeah, that was one of the... Avengers Age of Ultron had a lot of just issues, I think. And one of them was Stark's whole... It was not well... You could see what they were doing, but it was not well fleshed out, I think, in the final film.
Correct.
Is my take.
Because he thought he saw a possible future and decided, I don't want anything to do with that.
Well, there was that element, too, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'm curious to see how they come about, how this movie opens up with, you know, are they going to open it up with the sides already drawn, or are we going to get to see...
No. I think it's going to be the Avengers are on some mission somewhere. Probably Wakanda. If I'm pronouncing that wrong,
right.
Get a life. Get a girlfriend. But I think that's where their mission's going to be, and something goes wrong, and that gets Black Panther involved.
Right, right.
And then the UN's like, you know, hey, we can't have these people running around with no control and no oversight, and that brings in Stark and team registration or whatever, team government control.
Right.
And Cap's like, no, freedom. We vaguely remember that. And then they fight.
Yes.
A lot.
Fight mo bunches.
And apparently Martin Freeman drives around.
Yay!
In the car.
Drive around, Martin
right.
Freeman.
And somehow there's also Bucky's involved. Like, this movie's a smidgen overstuffed, in my opinion, but...
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder, perhaps the mission to Wakanda is to get Bucky? Like, at least that way it would all sort of
make sense.
Have pieces together that fit.
Yeah.
And then...
And you got Spider-Man.
You got Ant-Man.
Yeah.
If they stay even relatively true to the comic, Spider-Man will start out on Stark's side and end up on Cap's side.
Yep.
Which I'm guessing is sort of how they'll play that out, that Stark will do something that goes too far, and Spidey's like, whoa, this is bad.
Yeah.
Like, starts out, Spidey's like, hey, you're my hero, Iron Man, and then Stark does something that crosses the line. Perhaps a clone of Thor with an Ultron brain.
Oh.
Which was what he did in the comics.
Yep. Yep. Klor.
Built by a Nazi.
Klor.
Still, like... Whatever. I still can't believe... No, both sides are being treated equally. It's just one side has a Nazi-created clone of Thor with an Ultron brain.
Yeah, you know.
That's building a gulag in the negative zone that people will be sent to without a trial.
Yeah, that's how
both sides are being represented equally. But the anti-registration guys, well, they're breaking the law, so they're bad.
A lot of that falls on Reed Richards' head, though.
Oh, yeah, well...
Because Richards, you know, well...
Richards,
I think, is the biggest... villain, not villain, of the Marvel Universe.
And well, really, in the Ultimate Universe, he is a villain.
The biggest villain.
He did the actual turn.
Yeah.
And became the... Literally, it's called Ultimate Villain. Like, there's a miniseries called that about
Ultimate
him
villain.
Turning. Yes.
Good God.
Maybe Ultimate Evil, but like... But basically, Ultimate Bad Guy.
Right. Jeez.
Well, Richards means well, usually.
Not... Yes and no?
No, he does.
Maybe?
That's kind of his thing. He always gets... He's the quintessential guy that's more about the science than about the ethics.
Right.
He's the guy that designed the not literally, but he's the kind of guy that would develop the nuclear bomb and then go, oh, wait. I was so busy trying to figure out if I could do it. Like they say in Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
You know, so busy worried about if you could do it, whether or not you should do it.
Right.
He's that guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't think... That's why... Sue is so vital. Sue and Ben are so vital to his character.
You worried whether you could do it, not if you should do it. Okay. That's my Jeff Goldblum.
Wow. It was almost a halfway passable the other guy.
Christopher Walken.
Yes! It's like when you're not trying to do Walken, you do a really good Walken. Like, it's weird.
I got a fever.
It's creepy.
And I need more cowbell.
No, see, you try to do it, and then it just all falls apart.
I know.
It's like you tense up, man.
I do. I'm under pressure.
You're like that kid from, or you're like Chevy Chase from Caddyshack, when you're just doing it for fun, you just knock him in,
yep.
And then the minute it's the final tournament, you're all...
Yep, can't do it.
Can't do it.
Right under pressure. Sad thing.
It is sad.
You know, the other, something else...
Yeah, you seem to, like, indicate that there was something we were going to talk about this week.
Well...
Throw me a line!
You know, the spinoff for Walking Dead started last week.
Yes, I am aware, and I have heard negative things about it.
Here's my issue with everyone.
And I was actually really interested in it, too.
Here's my thing with everyone speaking negatively. Is we've had two episodes of Fear the Walking Dead. I've not watched this week's episode, but
okay. From
what I've seen, you know, people are still... The biggest complaints has been, it's too slow.
Okay.
Like, the other biggest complaint I've seen is that all of these people reacted. They're like, why wouldn't they just stab people in the head if they're coming back to life? Why are they reacting that way? Well, because, ladies and gentlemen, in this universe, there isn't such a thing as zombies. In the Walking Dead universe, there wasn't a thing called zombies, which is why they're not called zombies. These people never had that. In my understanding of that
universe... In the Walking Dead universe, Night of the Living Dead was never made.
Correct. That never happened. There was no such thing as dead coming back to life in any medium. So that universe has no
idea.
Worked
in the movie? You mean the movie Live?
Yeah.
That's Return of the Living Dead.
Yes. But that universe has no idea what they're dealing... Like, especially at the outbreak of all this, they have no idea what they're dealing with.
It seems to push credulity a little bit that no one's ever had any concept of a zombie.
Yeah.
I can see a world where the Romero movies didn't get made and that didn't become a thing.
Right.
I can buy that concept, But just that nobody has any, I don't know.
And people are upset that they're not calling them zombies. Well, Kirkman has said time and time again, you will never hear the word zombie.
Well, that's one of the rules. No, that's one of the rules. There are rules to the genre, my young Padawan.
For Walking Dead.
No. For the zombie genre.
Yeah.
You never call them zombies.
Right.
You never really tell people how it happened.
Like, right.
What it is.
Right.
It just happens. Now, you can throw out, you can have a character say, well, I heard it was this.
Right.
Or I thought it was that.
Right.
But you never objectively third person show this is what the deal is.
Right.
And then usually the human is the real enemy.
Yeah.
But that's more of a guideline than a rule.
Right. But, the Fear of the Walking Dead, the first episode, was slow. It's kind of building up the story and characters.
Okay.
You're kind of seeing things happen as the first episode progresses.
To be fair, I actually... I haven't seen it.
Right.
I kind of gave up on Walking Dead. I got bored with it. But in my own mind, I wouldn't mind if it was even slower.
Right.
Like, I wouldn't mind if, like, the first two episodes or the first three episodes were these people and living their lives and doing their things and blah, blah, blah. And we get to know who they were.
Before,
right. Because we've had how many seasons of Walking Dead?
We're on season six.
So we've had after.
Right.
We've had plenty and plenty of after. There's plenty of time for after. Because one of the things they never really do, that was the other rule, is you never really show the outbreak. You never really show how it falls apart.
Right.
It's just you usually pick up things have fallen apart.
Right.
And to me, that's interesting. That's one of the things I loved about the book World War Z, is World War Z, point by point, showed you how the thing kind of came apart. So to me, that would be interesting to like set up these people, set up their lives, have characters that you can relate to, and then slowly turn the screws.
Right.
And slowly have the weird thing. Because I don't know. I've heard some things about this week's episode where, like, people just sort of take it as a given that there's dead people walking around. Hey, what are you going to do? It's like, no. That's pretty wild.
I haven't seen this week's episode, but I know, you know, the first episode, like, it started out with an actual, you know, zombie.
I don't mind that. I mean, I don't mind, like, starting out with Patient Zero.
Yeah, it started out showing you that stuff's going down. Like,
No.
Then it built up to the last bit of it where they showed, like, you know, they showed some news footage of somebody on the highway, like kids in school were watching. They're like, that's not real. Like, you know, the police were shooting him and he kept getting back up and he kept attacking people. And they were like, that's not real. And then at the very end of it, of course, you know, they showed this drug dealer kind of got shot. And then they went back for him and he was gone. And they're leaving. And as they're leaving, he's coming up, you know, walking back into the truck.
That's one of the things. Walking Dead... The rules are a little fuzzy on this particular point, but in Walking Dead, everybody's infected. So at this point, anybody who dies comes back.
Right, right.
Which is an element that makes it a little more... Because, you know, a lot of times it's like if you're just bitten by the zombie and that's how it transmits. Those kind of situations can probably... People can kind of take them out pretty quick.
Yeah.
You know, they can put it down pretty quick. But if anyone who dies, period, comes back, you are going to get that kind of overwhelmed...
Right.
You know, people who die in their sleep and you don't get caught up on it. And, you know, stuff happens.
Yeah.
So,
and that's one of the interesting factors, I think, of Walking Dead is the fact that everyone is infected.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the big reveal.
Season one
was like, hey, that's what Rick was told, was you're all infected. We're all infected. And, you know, Fear the Walking Dead starts out with, you know, again, they're not telling you exactly what happened, but there's lots of hints that some kind of flu, you know, people getting their flu shots and people that didn't are getting sick, and, you know, those are the people that are turning. And
yeah, see, that's how I would have actually done it, was have it be like a flu-like thing, almost be like Outbreak, where people get really sick and then they turn. So that way you have kind of a reason for humanity being a little off guard
when the
outbreak takes.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I'd seen all of this, like, negativity from people, like, I gave it two episodes, I'm done. It's like, you gave a show two episodes. No wonder nothing lasts in the fall.
Well, yeah.
Because you don't give stuff enough time, and the networks, in turn, don't give stuff enough time. And therefore, we have shows that air an episode, and then next thing you know, they're canceled. It's like, people, you got to give it a little more time. Let them, they had to have some, you couldn't just have this instant gratification right out of the gate. I mean, well, that's, again, to me, that's ridiculous.
You've got Walking Dead for that.
Yeah, I mean, enjoy Fear the Walking Dead for what it is, which is basically the tale of humanity. I applaud them for doing
something different.
Yeah, I do too.
I really do.
Somebody, a reviewer, a major reviewer, I don't remember who it was now, but I remember reading it, we're talking about how, you know, it would have been better had they gone the complete opposite, whereas Walking Dead is this dark, gritty drama, you know, about humanity and stuff, and Fear the Walking Dead is kind of the same thing. They're like, they should have made Fear the Walking Dead a comedy, and it's like, what? Like, really? Who pays you, and why are you being paid? Because you're dumb.
No.
They were like, well, it would just make more sense because you have The Walking Dead that's just dark and moody and depressing, and then you'd have this comedy where people are kind of reacting comically to these, like, oh my God, what's happening? You know, I'm like, you're stupid.
I could see the argument for having more...
Kirkman would go, here's a big elements. Little finger to you, buddy.
Well, no, I could see doing more comedic, but it would be natural humor that arises from the situation.
Shaun of the Dead.
Shaun of the Dead-ish, yeah. Rather than, you know, wacky zombie shenanigans.
Right.
Like, no, that's a terrible... Like, then you're in another universe and you should not...
Yeah, you shouldn't be sharing that universe.
But, I mean, I can see, like, a Shaun of the Dead kind of thing. Or Return of the Living Dead kind of thing.
Yes.
Where the humor springs from just how crazy and out of control the situation is.
Yes.
That I'm good with. And I wouldn't mind, like, if they did a different twist where like... Maybe in the early days, people weren't all horrible and you did help each other. You know, a little more, like, you could do a little more optimistic take on the thing.
Yeah.
Because that is generally one of the things I think has been almost kind of played out by the zombie glut.
Right.
Is, okay, yes, humans are the real enemy. We get it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Maybe we have one where humans are actually good guys and help each other. And
zombies are the bad guys.
It's actually kind of a hopeful thing.
Yeah. I agree. See, and I think a lot of people that are into those shows don't, like you said, you know, there are rules to the zombie genre that
yes.
I follow.
Well, there were. My day.
Yeah. They're still kind of followed pretty closely, which is why you'll never hear, which Kirkman grew up on that, and that's how he wrote that book. That, you know, that's how he wrote the original book and how he runs the shows, is the fact that you'll never hear.
Well, have you heard the, like, I guess it's it's not apocryphal, but I guess the story is to sell that comic to Image. They were like, so what's the deal? He's like, well, it's actually an alien invasion.
Oh, yeah.
And then at one point, like, one of the executives came to him and said, you know, I'm really kind of hoping that doesn't turn out to be the case. And he's like, yeah, I lied about that.
I was just trying to get you to buy the book.
I had to tell you something, so.
Well, that's pretty funny. Well, it paid off for Kirkman in the end.
Oh, I would hope so. I hope that guy's rolling. I hope that guy's got, like, Scrooge McDuck money bin money.
I don't know if he's still got... I don't know if he's got that kind of money, but he's... He's paid well at this point.
He gotta be. He's got a hit comic. He's got a two hit TV show.
Well, but you gotta think though. He's still sharing the revenue with the two other. With one of them.
I think there was some controversy with the original artist.
With the original artist.
Still though, man. I mean,
yeah.
In comics, the writer gets some money.
It's true. Yeah, there was some kind of controversy.
I'm just saying is all. You got the toys and the thing. If he ain't got money, then he needs better representation.
True.
And he's Image, too, because Image, that was Image's whole thing, was everybody owns their own thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, yeah, I thought that was an interesting thing happening, was it was like, eh. It's like, you know, it depresses me when people don't even give a show like that.
Yeah.
At least give it a season to see where they're going with it, you know?
The complaints you brought up don't bother me. But, I mean, the characters could be crummy, I don't know. So that's a big thing, because especially if you're going to do it the way that I'm talking about and the way that they seem to be kind of doing
it,
you really have to have characters that you're interested in. Because that's the whole point, is you get invested in characters and then you turn the screws.
Right.
Because a lot of times it's just, you have to hastily sketch out who these people are. And with Walking Dead, literally, I think Rick's the only guy that we ever see. Rick and Shane are the only guys we ever see before everything falls apart.
Right.
Because Rick gets shot and then he wakes up in the hospital.
I mean,
they have to be likable characters.
People have kind of complained that the characters aren't great, but then again, it's like, give it a little, you know, give them time to build some. The son in the show is where the story kind of hinges on. At least has the first episode, it hinged on him the entire show, and that was kind of interesting because he's a drug addict and he thinks that what he's seeing
is a hallucination.
Is his, you know, is part of the. process of him cleaning up.
Oh, okay, detoxing.
Is this detox? He thinks he's going out of his mind, when it actually he's not. You know, and what's really happening is what's really happening. So, that's an interesting, like, little kind of twist in that. But I don't know, man. That was the thing. I was just like, eh, people, really? You know, just give it a
really.
Lip.
You're a toy collector, and fans complaining about stuff surprises you?
It doesn't surprise me. It irritates me, especially in fall TV when we watch two episodes of something and like NBC, ABC, or CBS or Fox are like, oh, we canceled it. And it's like, you guys didn't even give it a chance to like find an audience.
Well,
and then you've got stuff that's found an audience that they cancel like 4 years. Like, oh, we're canceling it. It's like, the thing's been on for 4 years. At least let them finish it out.
Eh.
My major gripe with that is Raising Hope. Raising Hope was a hysterical show.
Yes, you were a big fan of that.
Loved the heck out of that show. And they pretty much canceled it and didn't give them a chance to end it. It's like,
How would you end it?
She
goes off to college?
Nah, I'm sure they had an end game in mind, but I don't think I think they thought they were going to get canceled like the second season, and they just kept going. Like, Fox kept renewing them. They're like,
sounds like Community, where they basically plan to get canceled every year.
Yeah. So, I'm trying to think of what was really big just recently that got canceled.
I don't know.
Something Carrie and I really enjoyed
TVs.
Don't Trust the Bean, Apartment 23 got canceled, and that was a funny show that stuck around for a couple of years, and they just canned it.
Wow, I'm out of it, man. I vaguely remember that just starting.
Yep, that was a good show. It just seems like every year, kind of like when you used to watch network television, you'd watch something, and then
Firefly, man. Firefly was the show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I was like, hey, I should watch, it's canceled.
Oh, it's canceled.
Oh, it's Joss Whedon, and it's outer space. That sounds like, it's done.
That's how Carrie and I are like. We start watching something, and pretty much...
Oh, I'm the kiss of death. I wait, like, back in the day when I watched TV, I would wait 2 or 3 seasons.
Right.
Like, is this thing, like, with X-Files, man, all you X-Files fans, you're welcome, because I waited until, like, season 4 or 5. Buffy the Vampire Slayer fans, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Because I waited. I would have killed. I have like the Typhoid Mary of genre TV shows.
I think the only thing you didn't wait on was Flash.
Yes,
and that's been a success.
Well, I did wait on Arrow though.
That's true.
And
like
Flash
kind of
spun off from that.
Yeah.
So, it was after the second season.
Oh, okay.
And I watched the third season live.
Live, right?
So
good times.
Gotham. I got in on the ground floor. I figured it was Batman. So I mean, that's.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to kill off.
Yeah, it's true.
And it is proven hard to kill off.
Yes. It is coming back.
I know. I got mixed feelings.
Gotham, the villains.
Batman's 11! What is wrong with you people?
Eh.
People don't understand Batman. That irritates me.
In the words of our fuzzy pal,
no. Yeah, it irritates me. That gets my goat. Look, it's the Joker. No! The Joker does not exist before Batman.
Yeah. Maybe the person the Joker was exists.
But he's the Joker. I mean, he is the Joker.
Yeah.
He's all creepy and crazy and insane. That's not a twist.
Maybe
that's not cool.
They'll pull that. I know Joker's supposed to be that actor and that character.
I know they keep saying, oh, maybe it's not him.
Yeah.
Like, because at one point they were like, maybe the Penguin's the Joker. It's like, really? Because he was popular.
Yeah.
That's the funny thing. It's like, he got to be so popular, people are like, well, he can't be the Penguin.
Yeah.
Nobody likes the Penguin.
No, the Penguin rocks.
He's one of the best things on that show.
Yes, I agree.
Although, again, like, they screwed that up, because they made him the Kingpin of Gotham at the end of the season. It's like, where does he go now? Well, now he goes down. Where is he in 9 years when Bruce is finally Batman?
Yeah, no crap.
Ah, you people, this is Heroes all over again, and I know they're bringing that back.
Yep.
Whoop, they freaking do.
Yeah.
But it's Heroes all over again, where people who don't know how to write this stuff are writing this stuff.
It sounds like they might have figured it out for the Heroes return, though, because I don't think it's that, I think it's...
As our fuzzy friend says, meh.
I think it's like 13 episodes, Heroes, and that's it, and they'll see how it does.
It'll get ratings.
Same with X-Files, though. They're bringing X-Files back, and it's like, did you people not learn? You drove X-Files into the ground.
Yeah, you screwed that
up
pretty bad.
You killed it. Yeah. The company left, and you were like...
Well, I mean, to be fair, the show is the company. So when he left, you were hosed.
And then Gillian left, and it was like...
I mean, she's very important, but the show is... But again, that's another one that, like Chris Carter's not really a conspiracy nut.
Yeah.
You know? So he's just writing about stuff he's read about. It's like Heroes. Tim Kring's not a comic book fan.
He's just writing about stuff he's read about.
He's read about. And, yeah. and the problem is, then you get stuff like characters with powers. I mean, Hero was the best part of that show, that first season.
Yeah.
But that power is unworkable in drama.
Which is why he had to lose it.
Which is why, yeah, which is why he always had to lose it. Then Peter got it, and then Peter had to always lose his powers.
Yeah.
You know, or
and then they had to do something crazy with Siler because Siler was too damn powerful.
Yeah, it's like it's like you don't understand what you're doing. So
it's like they had to kill off Peter's brother, and then they brainwashed Siler.
They had to kill him. I think Aiden Pizdar was like Pizdar wanted out.
And then they had, well, no, because they brainwashed Siler and made him morph into Peter's brother, so he was still
that was last season.
So meh.
Yeah.
Oh, Heroes. Oh, you're ridiculous. And there's talk about, speaking of, you know, you move from Heroes to, like, Doctor Who. Have you been reading a lot of stuff that Capaldi apparently isn't going to stick around very long now?
Oh, was that because he doesn't want to stick around, or is that because people just didn't like Capaldi? I know one person, a friend of mine, who's really into Doctor Who, and she hates Capaldi.
Really?
And I think, honestly, I hate to sound cynical, but I think that's because
He's not cute.
He's not cute, bishy boy.
I like Capaldi as the Doctor. I think
I like the idea of him. I think this last season did not do well by him.
It didn't deliver. Hopefully this season does.
Yeah, hopefully.
But Capaldi's kind of mentioned that in some interviews, he's kind of hinted that he may not be around for long as the Doctor. Like, maybe because maybe he sees the writing on the wall that his Doctor isn't as popular and he may be hurting the show.
Could be.
And while I'm sure you know,
it's happened before. Yeah. There's been a couple that just didn't click with the audience and they got rid.
But somebody asked Hayley Atwell.
I thought that's what you were going with this.
What do you want to? What role would you most want? And she's like, I want to play the Doctor.
They've already established it.
A female.
Yeah, a changeover. Yeah, with the Master.
With the Master as Missy.
I believe in the classic show that happened once before. I'm saying it's established canon.
Right.
Like, because with the Master, you can't really count on anything he does. Because he or she is always fooling around trying to extend their lives.
Right.
So a lot of their stuff is kind of, like, sketchy.
Right.
It's not that it's illegitimate in a storytelling perspective, but you can't really base Time Lord lore
on what
the Master's doing, because they're always being sketchy.
He's doing his own thing.
Yeah, he's always trying to scam the
system.
Where
the Doctor is always pretty much played by the rules. So.
Well, sort of. But he's bound by the rules
in
a particular regard. Yeah, I would, but I do know they've established that you can pick your look.
You know,
Ramona did that. She was like changing bodies. Like, do you like this body? You like that body?
I would think that if Capaldi does this next season, and he decides to go, and somehow they listen and go, because Hayley Atwell's she's a good actress.
She's a good actress.
She's a lot of fun.
She got a level of popularity.
Yes, she's British.
She's British. Yes.
Yeah. She's super adorable.
She is.
And she would be a butt-kicking Doctor, I think.
She'd be cool.
I just
hope it's not a Brosnan situation where by the time they get to her, she's a little too old for the part.
Yeah, you know, I think that's part of the reason why I see all these hints that Capaldi's like, hey.
Well, just because he leaves early doesn't mean they're going to give it to her.
But I think that would be fun if they gave it to her. I think it's time we saw a female as the Doctor, really. Honestly, I think it's past time.
You can make arguments. You know, I know before Capaldi, there was a big push to have, I guess he'd be an African United Kingdom.
Yes, an African American doctor.
Well, no, because he wouldn't be American.
Well, you know.
I know. We're bound in the tape.
An African
of
United
work.
Kingdom.
Yeah, that's what I said. United Kingdom.
Yes, United.
But but someone like that as the Doctor.
Right. Well, I think it's time that we saw a individual of color as the Doctor and a woman as the Doctor.
Yeah.
I really do. I think both those things need...
I would love Hayley Atwell as the Doctor. I think that'd be fantastic.
Yeah. I do too. I think she would be...
I wish this show wasn't family friendly, but...
No, oh, God.
About time that we had a Doctor that we could...
Yay! That's true. I remember seeing that and people were going crazy, like, oh my God, that'd be great! And I'm like, yeah, actually, that would be pretty good.
That would be pretty cool.
Not just because she's popular, because even before she got popular, even in Captain America, you saw her the first time. Like, I've never seen her before.
Yeah,
I was like, she's cute. She's a good actress.
Yeah.
She can kick butt.
That's it.
And then, of course, you know, they keep bringing her back for stuff. And it's like, you know, they're doing another season of Agent Carter. So,
yeah.
I mean, kudos to... I mean, if she was doing Agent Carter and doing the Doctor, that'd be amazing.
That yeah, would be fun. I suspect she'd have to pick one or the other.
I suspect she'd pick the Doctor.
All right.
Considering... spoiler alert.
Yeah, who would...
spoiler alert.
Well, we don't know this for a fact.
We don't know for a fact, but pretty sure that she's dead.
We're pretty sure she dies in Civil War.
Yeah. So
some Britisher dies, and it's basically her or Martin Freeman.
Yeah, I'm guessing it would have to be her.
Maybe.
So...
could be Freeman.
Could be Freeman.
Maybe he dies, and that's what kicks off the whole shenanigans. Ooh. Maybe it's like whoa. It's like what actually happened in Days of Future Past, where they killed off the one senator.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Who was in the first X-Men movie? Not me.
Yeah,
tangled up in the X-Men.
Yep.
Bail me out, nope. Jason. Help me.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, I know.
Yep.
But something like that, where like
they kill him off, and then Mystique took his place.
Yeah,
yeah.
So he gets killed off, and then that kicks off the whole.
Yeah.
Because in Civil War, man, in the comics, man, they blew up a whole town in the Midwest, in the Northeast.
Yes, they did.
Right next to the school.
Yep. All those children.
Well, that was the whole thing. That's what kicked off the whole movement to get the
made Speedball become Penance?
Penance.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was dumb.
Take a goofy, fun character like that and just turn him into crap.
They screwed that up. That was bad.
Stupid Marvel Comics.
Yeah, well.
He's depressed and because he didn't really cause that.
No. Not
really.
Well, I mean, and they established eventually that the whole thing was a setup anyway.
Yeah. Oh, it was a setup.
Oh, it was. Yeah, Nuke was given like a whole huge power boost.
Really?
To be able to do that. Not Nuke, but whatever his name was.
Right.
It was Nuke.
Might have been.
The guy who killed Captain Marvel, actually.
Huh.
So
they was all set up to...
It was all set up.
By the government?
No, I believe by... I don't even know by who, but by some villain.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'd put my money on Red Skull, or...
Probably.
I am the Red Skull. You shall die. That's my Red Skull.
Why is he French?
I don't know.
I am the Red Skull.
Hey, in the first Captain America movie, the first Captain America movie...
He was Italian.
He was Italian. That's right. Just couldn't do a Nazi for some odd, stupid reason.
Yeah.
So let's make him Italian.
Well, I think they wanted to make him a little more sympathetic.
Oh.
Give him a little more of an arc.
Arc. That's dumb. Oh, my goodness. Well, what do you say we answer some fan questions?
Yeah, if we must.
I kind of put in the fan question this week. You know, we're rapidly approaching episode 200.
Yes.
Quickly. I think
that's
this,
what rapidly means, yes.
What? Is that what that means?
That is what
Son
that means.
Son of...
they're synonyms.
Oh, this episode's 187. So, you know,
we're 13 away.
Yeah, we still got a few weeks, but Chris Sheets wants to know, how does it feel to be 200? Well, we're not quite there yet.
No.
We're getting there.
Getting there.
It's hard to believe that Dave and I have been doing this show for almost 6 years now?
No.
5 years?
No.
5 years.
No, about 4 years. 3 or 4 years.
That was longer than that.
It's okay, look, I was at TCN in 2010, and this is 2015.
So. Yeah, that's true. When did we start the site? In 2012?
Something like that.
Something like that? Is this sad? I don't even know when we started our site. We've done so much stuff over the years that...
it's just been forever.
We tend to forget.
What'd you say, 187?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 187. Which is pretty amazing. I didn't think we were going to get
about 3.5 years.
Yeah, there you go. Almost four years.
Yeah, and it should be about the 4 year, because we started around Christmas time. So
yeah, we did, because the first episode was called Christmas Nazi.
Yeah.
And a loving tribute to your mother.
Yeah. I have mixed feelings about some of the things I said in that episode.
Aww. Mixed feelings.
Yeah. One of the reasons I'm not... As nice as it is that Tom listens to the episode, maybe I'm kind of glad maybe some of my family doesn't. I may have said some things I probably shouldn't have.
No, not you, David.
My mother was a hard-working single woman.
That's right.
Who was a social worker and
That's
still
right.
managed to pay my way through one of the most expensive colleges in the United States.
That is true.
So, you know, she had issues. She came by them legitimately. All she wanted was a nice Christmas, darn it. She had an ungrateful, rotten son who hated the holiday.
I know the very first video we ever released as Toy World Order was on July 31st, 2011.
Yeah, but that was like a that was like a sneak preview, wasn't it?
No, that was the San Diego Comic-Con Lino review. And
yeah,
then,
but that wasn't part of the site back then. And we did the podcast. That was like a couple months into it because things were not working out and you were unhappy.
Yeah,
I remember
we
were in the parking lot of the theater.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm just going to do a podcast. I'm like, good.
Yep. And that's how we came to be.
I don't care anymore. Let's just
started out dirty and filthy, and now we're wonderful.
We're family friendly.
That's true.
Mother.
Whoa. Really? Yeah. Really, David?
Yeah.
Back to the question of how's it feel to be 200, nearing 200. Again, it's honestly, I think there's been a few times during the course of this podcast that Dave and I have just kind of been like, ugh. We have nothing to talk about. What
kind
are we gonna
of,
do?
But I think these days I do feel that way a little bit sometimes. You know, because we're kind of the doldrums right now,
right?
But you know, as you said a couple months back, I mean, we get to hang out every week and just talk.
Oh yeah,
and I think at this point,
and people enjoy hearing our
for some reason
our grating annoying voices.
And we try to keep about toys, but I mean, you know, I think the other stuff, the TV and the movies and all that stuff. I mean, it's nerd stuff. I mean. We try to keep it about toys.
Everybody gives us a pass.
Yeah, it seems like it. Which is fine. So long as we don't talk about our cat.
Aww.
So long as we don't talk about Mr. Tibbles.
Tibbles.
He's verboten.
He's verboten. Mr. Tibbles is awesome. I want to get Mr. Tibbles t-shirts.
We should.
Mr. Tibbles for life. Little Paul doing the for life.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
NWO.
You've given a surprise amount of thought to this.
I have. Now you understand what I do when I'm in the shower.
Okay.
Hmm. Much like you sing in the shower as Puppet Duvall.
Sometimes.
Yes.
Sometimes.
A lot of our Puppet Duvall conversations start with Dave going, so I was in the shower.
That's usually where it starts. Yes. And then I take the dog for a WALK and the PARK. She's sitting right next to me. And that's where I flesh it out. That's where like we were talking about a project earlier.
Yes.
And that's where I was like working out the deets, as the deets. Young folks say.
As the youngins say.
The PARK is very important to my entire thought process.
Yes.
Actually, it is.
Gives Dave time to clear his head.
It does. It's
fill
very
it with
mental.
Nonsense.
I mean, as physically important as it is to me, mentally it's hugely important.
Yeah.
When I go without for too long, like I go crazy in the wintertime. You know this.
Oh, yeah.
By February, I am just a wreck.
Yeah.
Because I'm stuck in this house all the time.
Dave's like, I gotta get out.
I gotta get out.
Alex Pasquale says, for better or worse, any foreseeable trends you predict or hope for in the near future regarding any various scales out there? Anything from minis to 2-inch to 3.25 to 5-inch, 6-inch, and up?
6-inch seems to be the thing now. Everyone's on the 6-inch bandwagon.
Yeah.
And then the 2-inch thing seems to be a thing.
2-inch. The 2-inch figures.
Actually, that doesn't seem to really have caught fire as much as Hasbro seems to.
No.
The Avengers stuff is kind of stinking up the joint.
It's because it's bad.
Well, because it's a scale that you can't really do much with.
The Guardian stuff was bad.
Yes.
The Guardian stuff was worse, I think.
No, the Guardian stuff was better.
Was it?
I think it was better. But, and then the Jurassic World stuff didn't sell as well as it probably could have. Because the whole point of a dinosaur is it's big.
Yes.
Oh my god. If I want a small... The problem is when you make your dinosaur the same scale as the cheap ones, the parents are going to buy the
cheap
ones.
Yep.
So you got to get... I mean, you know, meanwhile, they're selling like, you know, like 5-foot tall Michelangelo toys.
Yeah.
Get a clue.
Yeah.
Get a clue.
Yeah, I think the 1/6 scale continues to grow.
So, yeah, I think 6-inch is popular. Well, 1/6 is 12-inch, dude.
I know, but still, I'm just saying.
Well, that's more of a collector thing.
Hell yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, that's always going to be a popular scale. 4-inch, hopefully. I mean, 4-inch just seems to be kind of drifting into the boutique territory, and...
Yeah?
I have mixed
feelings
about
it. That's because that's always been your scale.
It's been my scale. I just... Once I announced the new Star Wars movies, I was like, ah, crud.
More.
I gotta get through those. Once I get through... 9 is my cutoff point, man. I don't. If you want to drag stuff out with Finn and Rey and the little soccer ball creature,
BB-8.
You know what? 9 is my cutoff point, and then I'm done. I'm not saying I won't ever buy any Star Wars toys after 9. I'm not saying I won't buy like Rogue One toys.
Right.
I'm just saying that after 9, I can like look at stuff at Toy Fair and they're like, oh, they're all 6-inch. Oh, it's fine. Good for them.
Good for them.
I'm happy. I'm done.
And the Dave goes, oh, look at the vintage stuff over here.
Yes. 9 is my cutoff point. Possibly for a lot of modern toy buying.
Yeah.
We'll see what's going on with G.I. Joe. This might be my last real hurrah for Joe this last year.
With the 50th, the club's
got some really has the club kind of like right when I was ready to leave, it's like Billy and Pythona and Old Snake, and I'm like, oh, okay.
You're like, well,
I guess I'll stick around for one more year.
Darn it, you got me.
Yeah, they got me on that one, but I'm getting ready. I think to put up the chairs and call it a day on Joe. I've enjoyed it, but it's time to start wrapping this
stuff
up.
Still a couple of vintage pieces you're looking for.
Oh, there's a lot of vintage pieces. Well, not that I'm necessarily looking for, but there's a lot of vintage stuff.
As for modern stuff, that you're just kind of like, yeah, I'm done.
Yeah, I think, you know, Hasbro has sort of put the writing on the wall, and I'm kind of ready to kind of move on.
Yeah.
I want to wrap up Star Wars. Joe, you know, the stuff they did this year, some of it was pretty good.
Right.
Hasbro left me, man. Or not Hasbro, Marvel.
Yeah.
They left me with the Marvel. So, I'd buy them, but you're just kind of not making them. I'll still be something. I kick-started the next Marauder thing.
Yep.
Which, you know, they keep showing off new stretch goals. So, I'm like, ooh, good.
Right. You're like,
that was a good call.
Yay!
I did the all-in.
Did you?
I did the one of everything, including stretch goals.
Yeah.
So that was a good call.
That'll be fun.
And then, you know, hopefully Boss Fight does something sometime.
You know, they're getting their first shots in finally, so.
And then there's that stupid Eagle Force thing that should be happening someday.
Someday.
Which also has Captain Action attached to it, and I want both those.
Yeah.
So, and just a quick shout out to our friend Eric Aranha, who's, you know,
yes,
still struggling with some of his health issues.
Thoughts and prayers go to our buddy Eric Aranha.
He's a fighter, so.
He's got some.
It sounds like it's one of those things like he can't win for losing. He beats cancer and then,
yeah,
the stuff left over from that's what's causing the trouble now. And
So
Godspeed, Eric.
Our thoughts with Mr. Aranha.
That's probably, I feel bad because he's such a hardcore lefty. It's like I probably just insulted him by saying Godspeed.
Well, you know what?
Cosmic, whatever cosmic power you believe in, speed, Eric.
So long and thanks for all the fish.
So long and thanks for all the fish. Well, that makes it sound like.
Like he's gone, but he's not. Yeah,
nice going.
Sorry.
Nice shooting, Tex. May the force be with you.
There you go. Don't forget your towel.
Don't forget your towel.
Don't forget a towel.
What about toweling? Robert Hardenfield says, great review on the Combiner Wars Devastator Combiner set. What do you hope Hasbro creates for the next line of characters? We've seen, you know, they've done the Autobots with the Optimus Prime, the second Optimus Prime they've done in the Combiner Wars, which...
Oh, I see that.
Yeah, which is, you know, just repaints of all of the... Which basically the repaints of...
Those!
The Stunticons.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those.
Yeah, like, they're all just repaints.
I just saw Ultra Magnus somewhere.
Yeah, I've seen Ultra Magnus. Okay. Yeah, Ultra Magnus is cool, but I don't know, man. The club released some funky... I know it's canon, it's from the comics, I believe, or something, but the combiner they showed off is just...
Is that the Tarantulas?
Yes, yeah. The colors on that make me go, whoa!
I think those are classic Beast Wars colors.
Are they?
For the original
Tarantulas. I just saw that and was like, oh my god. I'm like, that's kind of awful looking.
Well, they're kind of bound by some of that.
That's true, to be fair. Yeah.
Especially with Transformers, because that stuff has all kinds of ridiculous cannons
going away
somewhere. Even the Billy I don't like, if you look at the picture they used for Joe,
right?
Like it does kind of look like a picture.
Yeah.
I think they played up the gold a little much, but I mean, you can see it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're kind of stuck with what they got.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to see what they do with the next Titan class stuff. You know,
that'd be interesting.
Getting a Fort Max. You know, he's been shown in the advertising for it, so people are pretty much speculating. Well, they're going to do Fort Max because they're showing him. But you know, the Titan class Devastator seems to be selling well. Every time somebody gets them in, they're gone.
You know, once you mentioned it, I've been looking ever since, and I've never seen him
again. So, and we just got the Protectobots in.
Yes, we did. Toys R Us.
Did
you get them?
No, they're gone. Yeah, it's all right. I couldn't really afford them anyway, but
yeah.
It's just nice to know that Toys R Us got four of them. They were cleaned out of them, like, they were gone.
Okay, they had two sets. So
yeah,
somebody else.
Good for them. I mean, they, you know. Yeah, one of these days I'll find them.
All
But
well, keep an eye on. Yeah, I sent you the thing. No. And I actually waited around, man. I had them in my arms. I'm waiting around, like.
I was asleep Saturday morning.
Well, whose fault is that?
Mine. Works.
And again, it was one of those. Like, by the time I got home, hey, great. At least you didn't ask me to pick them up for your kid.
That's true.
Like, yeah, dude. I was gone like 30 minutes ago.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll wait and see what they do with Titan War and the Combiner War stuff for next year.
I don't think they've shown a Bruticus yet.
Not yet.
Like that, I'm looking forward to. Not yet.
I'm sure they will come Toy Fair.
I hope so.
February, I'm sure they'll show off Mon.
I hope so. He's the one they always do.
Yeah, always do Bruticus.
Yeah.
It's one of Dave's favorites.
I have like three of them. Yeah, I have three of them, so yeah. I'm kind of like, don't break the streak.
Floorburger, our good buddy Josh Flood.
Yeah.
Says, Floorburger here. Now that another Toy World Order member, a Mr. Brent Scarano, has the fabled Hoff action figure, the legend grows. I purchased mine in a lot of 80s toys because of the sheer awesomeness that is a Hoff action figure. What is a figure or of a celebrity or a character that by today's standards might be equally goofy that you may own? And Dave can answer too, he says.
Oh, thank you. That's so sweet. You know, in private messages, he's a different Floorburger. Very contrite.
Yes.
This
rivalry is starting to go sour.
Well, he's already got plans. cause trouble. I actually gave this some thought because I forgot it was by Floorburger.
Oh, yes.
I would say, actually, from my 18 figures, Mr. T.
Yeah.
Like, that's probably the most obvious one.
Mr. T is pretty goofy in that. Well, not goofy, but.
Well, that figure's terrible, but.
Oh, yeah, no, that figure's awful.
Well, come on, he's. He's a goofy character from the 80s, the three quarter inch.
Well, yeah, those figures are awful.
Yeah,
the gloop figures, the 6 inch gloop ones are just as bad. But
they're pretty crummy. But
the 3 3/4 inch ones are all like generic jumpsuits with heads. Yeah. They're bad. They're pretty awful. I don't know what gloop was thinking. We have these leftover bodies. Let's just use them and put new heads on.
Yeah,
pretty much probably what they were thinking.
How can you say that he's less goofy than David Hasselhoff?
Well, I mean, at least the David Hasselhoff figure came with a car that actually made sounds and stuff.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, how are you saying that he's more goofy?
I wouldn't say he's more goofy.
Well, you were. That's what you're going with.
Oh.
For the record, can I just point out that really the car, voiced by actor William Daniels, was the star of that show.
Oh, God, yeah.
I'm just saying. Like, when I was a kid, I watched for the car.
Yeah.
I didn't care about the guy with the hair.
No, I didn't either. I wanted the car.
I wanted the car.
I don't know if I've got... I'm trying to think. I mean, goofy stuff, I'm, you know...
Your whole collection's ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. I've got Kevin Costner. I've got Alex Winter. You know, I've got Keanu Reeves. Pre-Neo.
Yes.
God, Schwarzenegger. All goofy toy line characters.
Because I was like, trying to figure out, like, but, like, someone... I think what he was saying is, like, someone who's kind of a...
Dave Coulier. I have a figure.
You do have a Dave Coulier.
I do have a Dave Coulier. I do indeed.
What is he?
He's from Full House.
Is he from Full House?
Yeah, he's the Tyco did a series of Full House figure slash dolls.
Because they're only like what 8 inches, right? They're not 12 inch.
No, they're not 12 inch. Well, they're not even 8 inch. I think they're actually 6 inches.
Oh, wow.
Or maybe just a little smaller. They might be 5. They're
okay.
Not
well,
big.
Now you're,
but,
you, we were.
I know. But yeah, I do have a Dave Coulier.
Well, do you have how many Pee Wee figures do you have?
Almost the entire run.
Do you have Lawrence Fishburne?
I do have Lawrence Fishburne.
Because that's
Cowboy Curtis.
He's not goofy per se, but the fact that he's a Pee Wee Herman figure...
It's pretty goofy.
It's pretty goofy.
Yeah.
It's pretty wacky.
I am sad that they never
and
released
the boss
the,
from... oh, did they do the Mailman Rita?
They did do Mailman Rita.
She was the boss from Law & Order SVU.
Yes, she was. They did... They didn't, though. They never did do a... Phil Hartman.
Oh, yeah.
As,
well, no, because the thing was from the show.
In the show.
Was he? I thought they had fallen out by then.
He was in the show.
I thought they fell out after the Broadway days.
Nope, he was in the show. He was in a few episodes of the show.
Was he?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
He wasn't the major character, but he did show up in the show.
Okay, because I might be misremembering my E! True Hollywood stories. Because I thought they had a big,
they did. They
nasty
had, they
falling
had a fallout,
out.
But he was in the show.
Because he helped create that show.
Yeah.
He helped create Pee-wee.
Yeah. So he did show up.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is kind of sad.
But my Dave Coulier probably is along those lines. Cut it out.
I'm trying to think if there's any particular The problem I like going with Simpsons figures is they're all pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, they're all pretty goofy.
But I mean, I am pleased as punch that I have a Stephen King action figure.
That's true.
That's probably out of the Simpsons ones, and then an actual Weird Al figure, because, you know, I mean, you've got like Wreck-Gar, you've got Cheese Sandwich, but you actually have a Weird Al action figure.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Jeff May says, do you have a toy in your collection that resembles you or someone you know?
I have a Leonard Core character that looks like Jason.
Oh, yes.
You need to put a hat on him, but other than that. I've got a Chat May guy that kind of... He's got like a weird Gilligan hat, but otherwise he looks like me.
Looks like you.
He's a big guy. So...
I have
glasses, which now is actually accurate. At the time, it wasn't.
It wasn't, yeah. I do indeed. I have a figure that very much resembles me in the fact that it was custom made for me.
Oh yeah, you've got. Yeah, you've got
I have a Bing Westlake figure from my days of wrestling. I have a custom figure of myself as a wrestler with a little putter and everything, a little putter and a British flag.
Yep.
But I do. That's about it though. I don't know if I have a figure that resembles Dave.
If you were a Star Wars guy, you'd have Porkins.
You know what? Well, before your hair went gray, I guess technically I do have a figure that looks like you because I've got a Friar Tuck.
That's true.
Friar Tuck kind of looks like you with
dark hair. I am growing more and more Michael McShane-ish as we go.
You are, actually. soon Dave will be mistaken for Michael Shane on the street. Hey!
You know what? So, that's better than some of the other ones I've been mistaken for. I'm not even going to name names. I'm not giving Floorburger any ammunition.
That's true.
But
that's true.
In high school, I was compared to a very unflattering celebrity.
No!
Yes. I'll tell you off air.
Hey, at least you don't have a stroke face.
Yeah, well, there you go. Not yet.
Stroke face!
Not yet. The way I'm eating.
Oh, well, stop eating that way. All right. And then Cam Ice Clark says, hey guys, how's it going, eh? Have you ever tried to sell a toy for years that you really didn't want or like anymore, but in the end, just got fed up of trying and decided just to keep it?
Kind of. I've picked up stuff for people, and then they didn't want it, and I'm like, I already picked that up. And sometimes I've been kind of happy that I ended up with that figure.
Right.
I can't think of any examples offhand. I know I got a Jean Grey for Danny once.
And then Danny picked it up.
And I've got a Terminator that I picked up for Danny that I keep meaning to return from the NECA line.
Yeah.
It's just sitting in the box.
Aww.
Yeah, that's actually two on Danny. Like, normally that only happens once, and then I don't pick up stuff for you anymore.
No.
So.
No.
Yeah, you either buy it from me or I never help you out again. But, stuff like that's happened. I've got a couple of things like that.
I don't know if there's anything I've tried to sell that just wouldn't sell that I end up keeping, because, again...
Finally got rid of Gretzky.
I did
finally... You conned Dealer Dan into that one.
Yeah, I did. No, it wasn't Dealer Dan, it was...
I thought you suckered him on that one.
No, it was...
wasn't Spike, was
Vince.
It? Oh, was it Vince?
It was Vince.
Wow!
It was Vince. I suckered Vince into buying it, because I marked him half off.
That's
Vince
a literal and moral
Vince
victory.
Yeah, I'll take it. Vince took it, so... And then Vince kept bringing it to shows for, like, 6 months.
I bet.
Because he couldn't get rid of it. I'm like, yay, Gretzky's gone! I almost kept Gretzky. I considered keeping Gretzky.
Well, you didn't have much of a choice for a long, long time.
That's
so
true. Gretzky might be up there, but there wasn't a whole lot that I've...
Yeah, I don't... As much stuff as I have, I don't try to buy stuff I don't want.
Yeah, neither do I. I end up with stuff sometimes I don't want.
Well, when we do the auctions and stuff, when you buy lots, and yeah, you end up with stuff that
right.
way, but...
Not very often do I run into anything else like that, though, that I like. You know, can't get rid of, and then all of a sudden it's like, I'll just keep it. What the heck?
Even, like, the one thing that would be closest to me is I had a couple Shadowrun figures that I kept bringing to shows, and they wouldn't sell. And I got to get back in touch with her, but there was someone who was like, oh, you have those? I need those.
There you go.
So, they're boxed up and waiting to go.
Yep. Just a matter of getting in touch with them. So.
Just a matter of having their payday, I guess.
Yeah. Well, there you go, guys. That's going to wrap up the show for David and I this week. We'll be back next week to hear Dave's tales of the Force Friday and...
Force Thursday, technically.
Technically. We'll hear tales of that, and then we're coming up here real quick on the Columbus Toy Show in a couple weeks. So,
yeah, entirely too quick.
Yeah, very too quick. So Dave and I will be traveling to Columbus, Ohio, where we see people like Chad Plouffe and Patrick Sinatra. And,
yep.
A few other people, though, I think we're going to run into.
Hopefully. We'll be there the second day.
We'll be there Sunday. We're driving up Saturday, and we're meeting Chad Plouffe at the hotel, and we'll be there Sunday. So, although Chad, bless his heart, was like, you guys should come both days. And we were like, no. Like, not even Dave has enough money for a two-day toy show.
I mean, I'd do it. I would rather go on the Saturday, but, you know.
Yeah.
Then we'd have to go on Friday.
Yeah.
And you can't pull that off.
I'd have to get a Friday and a Saturday off. Yeah. That's not going to swing, so. You know, I told them when I got hired, hey, I got 2 days the rest of this year. I have 2 Saturdays that I have to have off.
Yeah.
So they were well aware of that in advance. So.
And the dog's in a delicate state right now, so I don't really want her.
Yeah,
she got
some funky allergies going on, but
yeah, we got second round allergies, which I'm not happy about.
Poor Casey.
I know.
But gang, we'll be back next week with an all new show. Make sure to check out our sponsor at shellheadcomics.com, the Shellhead Comics blog, and more at shellheadcomics.com. Check them out, and make sure you find us on iTunes and on Stitcher. Just look up Toy World Order, and you'll find us. You can subscribe to us, and if you want to hear older shows, older than the last 4 episodes that we've aired, you can go to toyworldorder.com, search in the search bar for Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles, and find our entire library available right on the website for your listening pleasure. You can go all the way back to the first episodes and hear our dirty, dirty selves, and then hear as we become family friendly.
By episode 50, I know that.
No.
Found that out the hard way.
Yeah. But make sure you check us out, gang, and then, of course, David, I'll be back next week. So until then, David.
You don't have to go home, but you cannot stay here.
The Toy Bar Peeps is closed. Peace out.